Acts chapter 7. A few weeks ago in our studies in the book of Acts, we were considering the character Stephen. And that particular Lord's Day, we considered Stephen, the man of God. And then we looked in the evening at Stephen, the messenger of God. Well, I want to draw your attention again to Stephen tonight, and we're going to look at Stephen, the martyr for God. And I want to read some verses, a very familiar passage of Scripture at the end of Acts chapter 7. And we will commence our reading at verse 54, down to the end of the chapter. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, that is Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen. We'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's just bow again in a wee word of prayer. We need the Lord's help. Let's pray that the Lord will come help us tonight as we preach, and as you listen, that the word of God might have free course and be glorified. Father in heaven, we thank thee. We praise thee for this tremendous passage of Scripture. Lord, it never fails to bless our hearts every time we read it. We thank thee, Lord, for such an incident we have here recorded for us in the Bible. And oh God, we pray tonight as we look at it again that you would bless the hearts of your saints. And oh God, for those that are not saved, that you would reveal unto them their great need of God's eternal salvation. We thank thee for the blessed hope, the eternal hope, the everlasting hope of the child of God. And we thank thee, Lord, that the moment we leave this scene of time, we go to heaven, go to be with the Lord for all eternity, absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a blessing. Oh God, we thank thee that the future prospects of the child of God, my, they're bright. We thank thee, Lord, for that. And oh God, we pray in these days when the world and the flesh and the devil would attack us in every hand, that you would help us to realize, those of us who are saved, that, Lord, we're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God, going home to glory. Oh God, at the end of this old life, we thank thee, Lord, that you're going to give us an eternal rest, an eternal life in heaven with thee. Oh God, we just pray tonight that each one here gathered in this meeting this evening, Lord, would have the assurance, Lord, that they have everlasting life. Save them tonight, Lord. Oh God, may there not be one here in this gospel service that will leave this meeting on their way to a Christless hell. But Lord, may they begin their journey to heaven tonight if they're not already on their journey to glory. Bless us now, we pray thee. Fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And to thee, Lord, we will give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honor. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Here at the end of Acts chapter 7, we have a clear insight into the martyrdom of this godly man, Stephen. Stephen, of course, as you know, was the first martyr in the apostolic church. And what a wonderful account we have here of Stephen's last moments upon this earth. Indeed, in this account of Stephen's death, he leaves us a wonderful testimony of how God's people should face the last enemy, death. You know, child of God, there's one thing for sure. If the Lord Jesus Christ withholds his second coming, you and I will go the way of all the earth. We will have to face death. We will have to face the last enemy. All the saints of God in the Bible, apart from Enoch and Elijah, entered into the valley of the shadow of death and passed away. Even the greatest of God's saints faced the last death. Men like Abraham, Moses, and King David. Men like Peter and John and the great apostle Paul had to face death head on. And here in Acts chapter 7, at the end of this chapter, we have recorded the final moments of Stephen's life upon this earth. We have here a detailed account of how this great man of God died and how he was martyred for the faith of Jesus Christ. Very simply tonight, I want us to look at the martyrdom of Stephen, the death of Stephen, as it is recorded here at the end of Acts chapter 7. I pray and I know that the message will be a blessing and an encouragement to God's people. But I also pray that the Lord will take these words tonight and apply them to your heart, especially if you're not saved in this gospel service. My friend, you will have to face death. You will eventually come to that place in your earthly pilgrimage when you will have to die. Let me ask you a question this evening. Even before we go any further, are you prepared for death? Are you prepared for death? I pray tonight, if you're not, that even this evening that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We emphasize every week from this pulpit, and we will continue to emphasize, the necessity for the sinner to be saved and to prepare for the great eternity. And my friend, you tonight, you need to prepare for the great eternity. You need to prepare for that moment when God will take your last breath from you and you will die and you will go out into the great eternity. Would you prepare tonight? Would you seek the Lord tonight? And then if you do, when you come to die, you can die like Stephen. You may not die a martyr, but whatever way you have to face death, whatever way you have to face this last enemy, praise God, you will face it with the assurance and confidence of knowing that when you take your last breath upon this scene of time, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. The moment Stephen died, he went home to be with the Lord. And that can be seen here very clearly from this passage of Scripture. And we're going to say more about that in a moment. But notice a number of things very quickly about Stephen's martyrdom, Stephen's death. First of all, the cause of Stephen's death. Stephen, as we have said, was martyred because of his faith in Christ. He was stoned to death because he took his stand for his master. Look with me there at verses 58 and the beginning of verse 59. The truth is that the Jewish council stoned Stephen to death because they did not like the message that he preached. Stephen preached and exalted Christ as the only Savior of men. And he also condemned them for putting Christ to death. And because of his testimony, and because of what he said, and of course all that he said was the truth, they stoned Stephen to death. Look at verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen. Stephen died for his faith. He died because he loved the Lord. Stephen, as we have said, was the first martyr in the apostolic church. And here we have him being put to death because of his faithfulness to God. Because he loved the Lord, because he served the Lord, and because he preached the message of the gospel. You know, Stephen was not the last martyr. And I believe prior to the second coming of Christ, there will be many, many, many more martyrs for the faith. Down through the history of the church, there have been many who have laid down their lives for the faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe even in the world today, across this world, there are many who are imprisoned because of their faith, many who are dying because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my friend, let me emphasize to you again, you will die. You may not die a martyr's death. You may not be put into prison for your faith. You may not die in a prison cell because of your faith. But one thing is sure, the day is coming, the moment is coming, when you will have to face this last enemy. How will you face death? How will you die? Here we have Stephen dying as a martyr. He's dying as a child of God, dying as one who loves the Lord. And as we have already said, and as we're going to see just in a moment, the very second he died, he went home to be with the Lord for all eternity. But how is it with your soul? If you were to face the last enemy, death, tonight, where would your soul be in the great eternity? Would it go to heaven? Or would it go to hell? These are questions, solemn questions, that you need to ask yourself. And you need to get an answer to. Of course, the Bible has the answer. And the answer is simple. If you die in Christ like Stephen, then you will be in heaven with Christ. But if you die outside of Christ, then you'll be in a lost eternity, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Stephen was only a young man when he was martyred. My friend, you don't have to be old when you die. The truth is that the old must die, the young may. And right across this land tonight, there are many, and they're dying, and they're not all in their 80s and their 90s. Many of them are young. Young children die. Young boys and girls die. My friend, young teenagers die. Those in their 20s and their 30s die. Those in their 40s and their 50s die, and so on. And the truth is that we know not what a day may bring forth. That's why it is imperative that you prepare to meet God now, that you are ready to face death now. Because the problem with death is that none of us know what a day may bring forth. But the Bible does tell us it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And it doesn't matter what men believe today. And of course, as you look across this world, there are those and they don't believe the Bible and they don't believe that there's life after death. But as far as the Word of God is concerned, the Word of God clearly teaches that man exists beyond the grave. Death is only a step that will take you and I from this scene of time into the great eternity. And the truth is this, that when you come to die, that while your body may be put into Mother Earth, your soul will go out to meet your Creator. And what a solemn meeting that will be if you're not prepared, if you're not saved by the grace of God. Oh, you see the cause of Stephen's death. He was martyred for the faith. You can see the reason why he died. My friend, you're going to die. But you need to be prepared for death. Now, notice something else here in this passage of Scripture. Take a look with me at verse 59. Verse 59 is a tremendous text of Scripture. I want you to notice the confidence Stephen had in death. Look what is said here as Stephen faces death. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I want you to underline those last three words. Receive my spirit. At the very moment of death, when his last breath was just about to be taken from him, Stephen declares his absolute confidence and his absolute trust in his Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a tremendous statement there? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Stephen knew that the very moment that he would die, he was going to be with the Lord for all eternity. Why had Stephen this confidence? Well, there's a number of reasons why he had this confidence. Because of the promise and assurance of heaven. The Lord had promised Stephen a home in heaven. Also because of the promise of God, and the presence of God rather. Because the Lord had promised Stephen not only a home in heaven, but he had promised Stephen that he would presence himself with him as he passed through the valley of the shadow of death, that the Lord would be with him, even as he would pass from time into eternity. And because of the power of Christ, as Stephen died, Christ was standing waiting to receive his servant home to heaven. Look with me at verse 55, another tremendous verse in this chapter. It says, "But he," that Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." What a tremendous text of scripture we have there. Is it any wonder that Stephen was full of confidence and assurance? Oh, child of God, we serve a living and a resurrected Savior, one who has ascended up to heaven and who is seated at the right hand of his Father in glory. And when we come to die, Christ our Savior, he will stand up and he will receive us home to glory. And that's what's happening here. At the end of Acts chapter 7, the Lord Jesus is standing up from his throne to receive one of his saints. What a picture we have here. And it's reality. Oh, it's reality. Child of God, therefore, we should never fear death. Thank God, the one who has saved us and the one who has promised to be with us throughout the journey of life is the one who will be there at death, the one who will receive us home to glory for all eternity. Stephen had such confidence. And of course, when you read the Bible, and I know that many of you have read through the scriptures many times, all the saints of God had this confidence and had this assurance. We read that Paul said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." And of course, Paul also said, as he faced death, when he was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8, he said this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." We're reminded of the words also of the psalmist David, when the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Remember what Job said? Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." What a blessing it is to know and have the assurance and have the confidence that when we come to face death, we will be brought safely home to heaven. And of course, as we have emphasized, it's not because there's anything good in us or we deserve it, but it is because of what Christ has done for us in the place called Calvary. He has paid the price of our redemption, and because of that redemption, he has saved us for time and for eternity. And praise God, he promises to give his people everlasting life. He promises his presence with his people as they enter into the valley of the shadow of death. And he promises, because all power belongeth unto him, to bring his people safely home to glory. That's why the child of God has such confidence. Now let me ask you this question tonight, friend. Have you this confidence? Have you this assurance? As you sit in the pew tonight, listening to God's word, as you think of death and your death, have you this confidence? Have you this assurance? In other words, if you were to die right now, are you sure 100% sure that as soon as the last breath would be taken from your body, that you would go to be with the Lord? Or have you to say, preacher, I'm not sure. I haven't got this confidence. Maybe indeed the opposite is the case. Maybe you would have to admit tonight that you're sure of hell. If you were to die now, you would be sure that instead of going up to heaven, you'll go down to the lost eternity. Oh, my friend, what an awful tragedy for you to sit in gospel meetings like this to hear the message of the gospel to be spoken of by the Lord and end up dying and going out into a lost eternity. Would you not come to Christ tonight? The Lord wants to save you tonight, and he wants to give you this assurance, and he wants to give you this confidence in your heart and in your soul, so that when you come to die, you will know that you're heaven bound, and you will know that when they're lowering your grave into Mother Earth, that your soul is safe in the arms of Jesus. My friend, you can have that confidence. And here we have a portion of Scripture that teaches this truth. And I want you to see this truth tonight, because it is a glorious truth. It is a wonderful truth. And it is a truth that every child of God, saved by the grace of God, possesses. And you can possess it too. But you've got to come and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You've got to realize and recognize that you're the sinner, that you don't deserve salvation, but that Jesus died for sinners. And if you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and trust him as your Redeemer and as your Savior, and cry unto him in true repentance and faith, praise God, tonight you can leave God's house with this wonderful confidence and assurance. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Tremendous words. But notice something else. Take a look with me at verse 60 there. I want you to notice, thirdly, the Christ-likeness Stephen displayed in death. Not only the cause of his death, not only the confidence that he had in death, but I want you to see the Christ-likeness Stephen displayed in death. Look at verse 60. It says, "And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.'" Now, I want you to underline those words. Lay not this sin to their charge. Forgive them, Lord. Lay not this sin to their charge. Stephen did not show any hatred towards those who were stoning him to death. He did not even try to defend himself from his attackers. But rather, as he was dying, he prayed for those who eventually killed him. Now, I'm sure you've noticed that before. And if you haven't noticed it before, I want you to notice it now. In this respect, Stephen was like his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Christ was being put to death on the cross? He made no resistance. He uttered no complaint. Indeed, he prayed for his enemies. As the Roman soldiers nailed the Son of God to the cross, Jesus prayed. What did he pray? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Therefore, Stephen here in Acts chapter 7 is following the example of Christ and is also heeding the command of Christ. Because in Matthew 5 verse 44, Jesus said to his disciples, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." But how could Stephen die like Christ? Well, the answer is simple. Because Stephen lived like Christ. Stephen was Christ-like in his life. Stephen was a man who was continually filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we have already emphasized this truth about Stephen. But let me emphasize it again in the context of what we're saying. Acts chapter 6 verse 5 says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." Verse 8 of chapter 6 says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power." Verse 10 of chapter 6 says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." Chapter 7 verse 55 says, "But he," that is Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost."
So here we have a child of God, and he's filled with the Holy Ghost, continually filled with the Spirit of God. Every day of his Christian life, he recognizes the great need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the way he lived his Christian life. You know what it says about the Lord Jesus? In Luke 4, verse 1, it says this, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost." Saint of God, do you want to die well? Then live well. Live in the light of the second coming of Christ. Live Christ-like, and then you'll die Christ-like. Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Why could Stephen die Christ-like? Because he lived Christ-like. He was a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost. A man who lived in the light of the second coming of Christ. A man who was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, child of God, here's a message for us. Here's a word in season again. And we have seen this in the course of these studies. At the beginning of these first chapters in the book of Acts, the importance of God's people continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to live for the Lord? You want to serve the Lord? You want to do a work for God? You want to see victory in your Christian life? Then know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God day by day. And I'll tell you this, if you live Christ-like and know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit day by day, when you come to die, you'll die Christ-like. You'll have no fear in death. No fear in death. I know that there are many today, tonight in the service, and we're prepared for death, in that we're saved. We're saved. But you know, are you ready to die? You say to me, well, if I'm prepared, I must be ready. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. What if the Lord was to come tonight and say to you, you're going to die? Would you be happy with that? Would you be happy with the Lord telling you that? I often ask myself that question, you know. Somehow or another, I don't think I would be too happy. I'd want to stay on earth for another wee while. But if this was the night and we knew it, that the Lord was going to bring us home, would we just bow our heads like Stephen? And would we say, Lord, receive my spirit. I'm ready to go, Lord. I'm happy to go. Oh, I'm prepared, but I'm ready and I'm happy to go, Lord, if that's your will. Oh, here is a man of God, and he's so in touch with Christ. He's so in touch with the Lord that even when it comes to die, he's happy. He's praising the Lord. He's not fighting it, but he's praising the Lord. And even as he dies, those who are stoning him, he prays for them. Oh, he's Christ-like, isn't he? Notice something else before we finish. Notice the crowning Stephen received the moment he died. Look again at verse 60. Underline the words. "And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this," now underline these words, "he fell asleep." Here, Stephen's death is described as falling asleep. He fell asleep. And the moment Stephen fell asleep in death, he received the crown of righteousness from the hand of the Savior. Therefore, Stephen's death was not the end of his life, but only the end of his journey upon earth. He had gone home to receive his eternal reward. Now, the Bible speaks about many crowns which the believer will receive at death. The incorruptible crown, the crown of life, the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness. All these crowns mean one thing: a home in heaven with the Lord for all eternity. Where did Stephen go when he died? He went to be with the Lord. Where is he at tonight? He's with the Lord in heaven. If the Bible is the Word of God, and we believe it is, then all who die in Christ are with him when they die, and they will be with him for all eternity. You know, death is not the end. As we have often said from this pulpit, death is only the beginning as far as the child of God is concerned, because it is absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now, we do read that they mourned Stephen's death, and it is right to mourn our loved one's passing. Of that there is no doubt. But you know, dear child of God, isn't it wonderful to know that when the mourning is over, when time has passed, that there's great comfort in knowing that our loved one is with the Lord. And the truth is that they're more alive than we are. Those that have gone home to heaven are more alive than we are, because we are dying. These bodies of ours are getting old and they're slowing up and they're dying. But there's no dying in heaven. You know, I'm always greatly encouraged when I study the life of Moses. Turn over, and with this we're finished, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 34 for a moment, and then find Luke chapter 9 in the Bible. And of course, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, we have the death of Moses. And as you know, Moses lived for 120 years, 40 years. He lived in Pharaoh's palace in Egypt. The second 40 years, he lived at the backside of the desert. The last 40 years, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, crossed the wilderness to the edge of the promised land. But in chapter 34, Moses dies. Look what it says in verse 5 and 6. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth his sepulchre unto this day. Look what it says there in verse 6. After Moses died, that the Lord buried his body. The Lord buried his body. There wasn't a great crowd when Moses died and when he was buried. There was just Moses and the Lord. And when he died, the Lord buried his body. And you know, when you read on, the children of Israel mourned for Moses. There was a lamentation. Of that there is no doubt. Moses, the great man of God, has died, as far as his body was concerned. But you see, the moment he died, he went to be with the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 9 in the New Testament. Thousands of years have passed since the events of Deuteronomy 34. But look what it says in verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took, that's the Lord Jesus, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, underline it, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Ah, oh, but sure, didn't Moses die thousands of years ago? Didn't the Lord bury his body in Deuteronomy 34? Well, he's alive. He's very much alive. And although thousands of years have passed, Moses is alive. And he's now back on earth. And he's now talking to the Lord. And he's talking to the Lord about his death upon the cross. That's what the portion of Scripture reveals unto us. My friend, can you not see the blessing of the Scriptures? Can you not see the blessing of being saved? Can you not see the blessing of knowing Christ as your Savior? Once the Christian dies, they go to heaven. They go to be with the Lord, and they never die. The Christian never dies. We just stop living on earth, and we start living in heaven. And where Stephen is today, he has gone home and he has received his crown. My, what confidence this man had. What assurance he had as he knelt down, as they lifted the stones to stone him to death. Can you see them stoning Stephen to death? Can you hear the stones as they hit against his body and hit against his head? I don't know how many stones it took to kill Stephen. But I know this, that someone finally threw that last stone. Whether it was the 10th stone that was cast, whether it was the 20th stone that was cast, Someone eventually threw one last stone, which hit Stephen, and it killed him. But the moment that last stone took his life, he opened up his eyes in glory. And child of God, that's the way it's going to be for you and me when we come to die. And that's why we shouldn't fear death, and that's why we shouldn't fight against it when it's the Lord's time for us to die. Because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Are you one of his saints tonight? Because if you're not, the moment you take your last breath upon this earth, you'll open up your eyes in hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, and you'll be lost. You'll be lost forever. Oh, make sure you're found in Christ, redeemed by the precious blood. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee this evening for this tremendous passage of Scripture. Oh Lord, there's so much blessing here, so much encouragement here for the saints of God, and so much challenge for the unsaved. Oh God, men often say to us, if the Bible's wrong, then what? Well, we would turn the question round. If the Bible's right, then what? And Lord, we believe it is right, and we believe it is true. Oh God, I pray that sinners will realize tonight that's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Those that are not ready and prepared for death and for eternity, even this night, would come and seek the Lord and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Save souls tonight, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you'll reach down and pluck brands from the burning. Do it for your own glory. Bless your own people, Lord. Encourage your own saints. Oh God, and teach us afresh, Lord. Death is nothing to be afraid of. Oh God, teach us all that truth. And help us, Lord, like Stephen. Help us to live Christ-like. And then we'll be able to die Christ-like. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Hymn 151.